You might see me looking through Bible verses as we're singing there, and it's kind of like yesterday. We cooked some trout on the barbecue, and up to the very last minute, we were marinating, kept marinating them and pouring more on them. And for a message, I'm trying to keep my mind marinated in God's Word. we have a couple other birthdays, but they're not here. One is Mrs. Horton, if I understand. It's her birthday today. Is that correct? And so... If you have her phone number or her email address, you might wish her a happy birthday. We're going to be seeing the Hortons in October. Pastor Hortons is going to be preaching for us on October 23rd. So looking forward to that. And I'm not sure how long you're staying. Do we know? 2 weeks. Okay. Well, that's going to be nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, very nice. Yeah, as some of you know, they did some helping out in Vernon in the early days when they were just started the church plant there, so they can probably be out there encouraging them. And then the other birthday is Joseph Neufeld, so maybe we'll see him a little later on today. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. When you find your place, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. You're able to. And we're going to read verse 4 down to verse 9. Verse 4 down to verse 9. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The wounds of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the deep riches of wisdom that written here for us. In the book of Proverbs, we pray that you'd help us to find some ways that we can apply these verses to our life. Lord, that we would not be looking for who else that they might pertain to, but rather that we are looking at ourselves and how we can make our life more conformable into the image of Christ. We ask that you be with any that are still traveling. We ask that you give them safety on the roads. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're picking up in verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Deep waters. It's comparing it to the deep waters that a person might drink from. Now, of course, you can imagine it's speaking of waters that are not contaminated, waters that are tasty to drink. You know, the comparison between spiritual and physical. I'm sure some of you have tasted some waters before that were anything but delicious. We were doing a hike once. I don't remember who was involved. I know the races were there. I know the Kuipers were there. And somebody drank out of this wellspring near Wells Grape National Park or Provincial Park, and it was very sulfurous. And that's not the kind of water we're talking about here. We're not talking about the kind of water you drink in Moose Jaw, if they still have that kind of. We drove through there some years ago. It's just nasty water. That's tea. Yes. My parents, they had a well that was very much that rusty water and again, somewhat sulfurous. But these waters are deep waters that are very filtered, and it's very refreshing. When you think of deep waters, particularly in a hot climate like Israel, what does that signify? It signifies cold waters, right? Not hot, not lukewarm, but cold, crystal clear water. And so when we do the comparison between spiritual and physical, the words of a man's mouth, now this obviously is a man or, by the case might be, a woman, who is wise, who is careful with their tongue, who is spent time in God's Word so that they have something to offer, so that they're not just, it's not just foam, it's not just, it's not frivolous, but it actually is deep, it's energizing to the soul. So the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Again, the flowing brook, some brooks are good to drink from, some not, right? You know, I get some of those, what do you call that, beaver fever. Yes, that's not good. Don't want that. But yesterday we went up to Trunkheel there, the creek there, and found the water to be quite brown. I had Esther with me, and she was like, going like this to her mouth. I'm like, no, don't drink that. That's not chocolate milk. But the wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. You think about something that's flowing, by nature of it flowing, it's not stagnant. It's clear, and it's moving. You think, on the other hand, of a stagnant brook, there's no movement of water. You get a lot of algae in it, a lot of scum on the surface. Well, God wants the believer to have deep words to offer. And that's, we've looked recently about the tongue and how let our words be few. I may have mentioned this before, but I was just talking with one of my brother-in-laws here. Some of you may know we've got some of Emily's family here with us, three of her brothers and one of her sisters. And I was talking with one of my brother-in-laws about his dad, my father-in-law, and he's a man of few words, but when he says something, it's profound, it's deep. And he reserves he holds himself back, and there's times when you're asking questions and he has more questions than answers, it seems. I've mentioned that before, and sometimes it's annoying, but then you realize, well, wait, he is pondering, he's thinking, and when he gives you something, it's worth listening to, it's worth holding on to. And the Lord wants us to have deep waters of wisdom that we can give to others. I'll read you a quote here. This is from Charles Bridges from the 1800s, a contemporary of Charles Spurgeon, someone that Spurgeon would quote. This sentence expresses the depth and abundance, the clearness and the force of the counsels of the wise man. The last clause, and he's going back to verse 1 here. The last clause gives this restriction to wisdom. When a man has intermingled with all wisdom, his words are in themselves deep waters, and in their communication fruitful as a flowing brook. His wisdom is a wellspring, which sends up full brooks, and are ready to overflow their banks. So plentiful is he in good discourse and wholesome counsel. Good discourse, wholesome counsel. For those of you that have read Pilgrim's Progress, you might remember the person, Mr. Talkative, in that book. And if you haven't read it, you need to read it. It's an excellent book. Mr. Talkative. And Mr. Talkative, he says, I can talk about anything you want to talk about. You know, if you want to talk about base things, you want to talk about good things. And he was just, he was willing to talk on any subject. So is he that is, so plentiful is he in good discourse. Good discourse, not everything, and wholesome counsel. Let's restrict our words. So deep were the waters from the wise man's spring that his words nearly overwhelmed the capacity of his royal hearer. One greater than Solomon astonished the people by the clearness no less than the depth of the waters. Matthew 7, 28 and 29, speaking of Jesus. No blessing is more valuable than a rich indwelling of the word, ready to be brought out on all suitable occasions of instruction. If the wise man sometimes spares his words, it is not for want of matter, but for greater edification. The stream is ready to flow and sometimes can scarcely be restrained. The cold-hearted, speculative professor has his flow sometimes a torrent of words, yet without a drop of profitable matter. chilling, even when doctrinally correct, without life, unction, or love. Lord, deliver us from this barren talk of the lips. May our waters be deep, flowing from thine own inner sanctuary, refreshing and fertilizing the church of God. This wellspring is specially invigorating when it gives an heavenly glow to outward eloquence. Consecrated mind and talent are the gifts of God. Oh, let them be improved in simplicity, not for the creature's honor, but for the glory of the great giver. Let's take a look at some verses backing up to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. Verses we've looked at before, but they're worth looking at again. Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. You see the difference, the contrast between the righteous man, the wicked. The wicked has violence in his mouth. The righteous is a well of life. Let's think about ourselves and how we use our mouth, and let's think about how we can improve our lips. How we can restrain our spirit. Sometimes our spirit wants to say something. Maybe it's not our spirit, actually. Maybe it's our soul. Maybe it's our emotion wants to say something that it shouldn't say. Let's let the Spirit have the final word. The Spirit that is enriched by the Holy Spirit. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14. Proverbs 13, 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. And of course, when we think about the fountain of life, what's the greatest life-giving thing we can do with our lips? Witness. Tell people about the Lord. That's what we can do to be a fountain of life. Tell them the way of salvation. And yes, we know that so many are going to disregard what we have to say. Maybe even ridicule us. Doesn't matter. It's not our responsibility to get them saved. It's not our responsibility to get them into heaven. It's our responsibility to give them the way of salvation so they can make an informed decision, so they can choose. And you know, that probably is one of the most difficult areas for the person that would be a soul winner, is getting discouraged by the people that scoff. And it might not even be a pride thing. Sometimes it can be, of course, where it's like, oh, they've put me down. And of course, you realize they haven't put you down. They've put Christ down. But sometimes it's just a matter of being discouraged and saying, well, really, look at that person. That person is not going to take my tract that I want to give them. You psych yourself down from actually witnessing to them, from giving them a tract, because in your mind you're already defeated. You believe you know what they're going to say, how they're going to react. Doesn't matter. It's not about us. It's not about them. It's about Jesus. It's about his gospel going forward, and he will do the work. He will. Shed the light of the gospel, as he said, as you know, that he will draw all men unto himself if he be lifted up. And I believe that drawing is something he sends the light out, and every person gets the light. And every person has that choice to decide whether or not they're going to put their trust in him. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 22. Understanding is as a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. That as we develop, as we take knowledge, understanding, and wisdom from Scripture, it becomes a wellspring of life. And it needs to be vented. We need to actually share it. Not just circulate it in our own self, but we need to share it. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. Again, the wisdom is likened unto counsel and the deep water. So Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. That deep water. And for us to have a degree of understanding where we can draw that counsel out. It's like having a bucket on a long rope and being able to get it down there and pull some of it out. And that's, you know, where we should try to find ourselves godly people in our life that are spirit, that are excellent mentors. I try to do that, and I'm going to be looking for someone else. For instance, as some of you know, I really looked up to Brother Jessup, who just passed away here almost 2 weeks ago, and he was, you know, a mentor to me in many respects, and so I look for people like him. You know, I looked up to Brian Booth before he went home to be with the Lord. Looked up to Bill Hiltz before he went to be with the Lord. These men who have served the Lord for many, many, many years. And so I seek counsel, and I try to put my bucket down their well, get something from them. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, now going into the New Testament. Colossians 3, verse 16. You know, there's so many verses that are, interestingly enough, chapter 3, verse 16, that are good verses. John 3, 16. 1 and 2 Timothy 3, 16. Colossians 3, 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Here we see some of our responsibility. So the Word of God is supposed to dwell in us richly. And in order to do that, we have to get into God's Word. We have to meditate on God's Word. We have to memorize God's Word. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It has to dwell in us. Richly, richly, not just sparsely, not just in one little corner, but richly. I love hearing some of the senior saints pray. I love hearing how they, sometimes, some of their prayers, it feels like it's 75% scripture being quoted to the Lord, weaving passage with passage with passage, and you know that it's bubbling out of a heart that is where the word of Christ is dwelling richly. So, we're supposed to teach, admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Teaching. So, you know, that word teaching there speaks of showing each other things from God's word, scriptural principles, and at times, even admonishing, that's got to be done very carefully. The right people, the right person, the right time, the right event, the right spirit. Admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. We see the influence of good godly hymns, good godly psalms. You know, one thing I'd like to do, you know, we read here about admonishing one another in psalms. I'd like to get more into singing through some of the psalms. You know, the book of Psalms, actually singing through them. And there are hymn books you can get where they are put to song. And we can admonish each other. We can teach each other in with music. Next chapter over in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. There's a combination there. Grace and salt, almost like sugar and salt. Grace, where we have the right spirit, where we have the right words, where we approach people and situations with a gracious spirit, a kind, a compassionate. And then you also see there's seasoned with salt. Salt has a little bit of zing, you know. So it's something that's got to be done with the right balance, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So that goes back to that verse that says, speaking the truth in love. And if we got to be careful that it's evident when we're speaking the truth that it is done in love. Okay, going back now into our text, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 5. This verse here we have looked at already because it tied in with a verse from chapter 17. Just basically, we'll read this verse. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Essentially, this verse points out that we are not to overthrow justice because of the presence of a popular person, a person who is somehow into the situation. We don't overthrow justice. We don't overthrow the righteous in judgment. And we looked at scripture passages that refer to accepting of bribes and how Samuel's sons, regrettably, accepted bribes and would pervert justice. Oh, you give me some money? Oh, I can probably make this judgment go in your favor. Well, and that happens, as we know, even today in some countries. And you hear about all sorts of different controversies, particularly in some of these sports events. I tell you, I just not into sports. And so often you're dealing with, basically it goes down to chemicals. You know, which sport-enhancing drug are you using that I'm not using that wins the day? And then, you know, some years later, oh, you were taking that. Well, you're disqualified. You know, it's glorifying the flesh. But anyway, another subject for another day. Okay, verse 6 now. Proverbs 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Again, we see the danger of the tongue. Entereth into contention. Where a person is fighting, is maybe getting into a conversation that they should not get into. Now, that's so easy, isn't it? It's easy to get into it. It's not as easy to get out of it. It's kind of interesting watching the politics right now down in the States. Mr. Trump has a way of getting into contentions and then tries to sometimes back out of the contention, but it's not easy to get out of one after when we've inserted ourselves in. Let's be careful not to get ourselves in that spite, in that place in the first place. Let's be a person of few words. Let's reserve judgment. So that verse says that their mouth calleth for strokes. Of course, we know that that's back in this time frame where they would practice different degrees of corporal punishment. You know, whether it be whipping, beating publicly, or even the worst case being someone being executed. So here that Solomon says that their mouth calleth for strokes. Now we don't use physical punishment here for when someone runs off with their mouth, but I mean you still see it on the street level. You know, if you see it in the prisons, if inmates run their mouth off, other inmates will come at them. Some of the inmates that I've volunteered around have told me how careful they have to be, how stressful it is being in jail. It has nothing to do with the COs, the corrections officers. It's all about their interactions with each other. And I mean, they've told me that sometimes even just reaching across the table to get the salt shaker, you got to be so careful that you're not going in someone's personal space, and how they say things, the different words they've used. And I mean, I've been kind of schooled in some of the things that I'm not supposed to do, or I'm not supposed to say. I'll give you an example. I was recently whistling as we were walking down the hallway, and the chaplain said to me, we don't do that here. Well, he didn't actually say it that way. He just said, you know what, give me some interesting trivia. And so I stopped whistling. He says, you know what? He says, people don't whistle in jails because back years ago, when they had corporal punishment and they had capital punishment, quite often the hangman would whistle on his walk to the gallows. So he says, we don't whistle in jail. So you learn these different things, and you learn these different sayings, these different words that have double meanings. So anyway, in prison there, that's one place where the mouth can call for strokes, not from the COs, but from the fellow prisoners. Going to the next verse now, Proverbs 18, verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. He hurts other people, or she hurts, whatever the case might be. But in the long run, that person hurts themselves. It might be shorter than, it might take a while for to catch up to them, or it might be very quickly. But they're hurting themselves. We were just talking about it at our house there a couple days ago, about the Amalekite that came to bear news to David that King Saul was dead, and he claimed to have been the one that finally finished David off. Whether or not that was true, or whether or not maybe he just was hoping for some glory, and he hoped that David would anoint him in some, or give him some sort of a role in his government, it didn't serve him well. He lost his life. It was to his own destruction. Next verse, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. The innermost parts of the belly. You know, our belly can be one of the most painful things. If we have an injury to it, if we have an illness. This last time that I was working in Edmonton, working out of the hospital there, it was actually a slower set of shifts. But at the same time, it seemed like every single call that I did was related to, most of them were related to the belly. And some of them had a great deal of pain. Some did not. Some had received some medications. But the pain, the belly can give us a great deal of pain. You think about kidney stones, think about pancreatitis, bowel obstructions. You think about GI bleeds, all these things. And then they're difficult to heal. It's not like dealing with an injury to the arm or to the leg. They're difficult to heal. And so the comparison here is between the words of a talebearer, that those wounds, they go down deep. They hurt. The talebearer is someone that carries a story. And, you know, maybe they saw something. Maybe they heard something about an individual. When that person, maybe the other person thought that they were unobserved or whatever the case might be, but that individual heard something about them, and now they're carrying that story forward. We know there are times when things have to be brought to light. It might be a grievous sin that's a person is unrepentant in, but when possible, It is best to cover that person's transgression, to give them grace, and so when someone carries a story around, it hurts. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A froward man soweth strife." Soweth. It's like casting out seeds. It sows strife. It's not meant to help. That's where we have to be so careful about each one of us individually. When we ask questions, sometimes we sense that there's a big story behind something, and that we don't probe, that we don't try to push someone into having to tell us something. Sometimes a person might end up telling us something they didn't want to tell us, but in order to stay truthful, they end up telling us something. We've got to be so careful about that. It sows strife. And you also notice there from Proverbs 16:28, the whisperer, the person who is, God, I want to tell you a story here. And maybe it might be under the pretext, I'm telling you this only so that we know how best to pray for Brother Frank or Sister Susie. And that person is whispering. And what happens? They separate chief friends. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 26. Verses 20 through 21. Where no wood is, you're familiar with this passage, most likely. You've looked here before. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tale-bearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. I think you probably know what that means about coals to burning coals. If you've got a little campfire going and it's starting to go out, maybe you have some coals over here, or maybe some embers have kind of from the log were separated, and now you bring those together, and the increased heat might make it spark up into a flame. So coals to burning coals, wood to fire. If you've got a healthy fire going, you add wood, it only gets bigger. So is the contentious man to kindle strife. And of course, we could apply this, the contentious woman. Let us not be contentious. Let us not look to fight for the sake of just fighting, to be contentious. Always feel, there's a great deal of pride usually involved there, where I really know what I'm talking about, you don't. That sort of an attitude. Let us not be contentious. Yes, we know. The scripture says we have to contend for the faith. There's a difference between having a spirit that only, it wants to stand up for the faith, to hold the flag high, and not to let it sag. There's a difference between that and a contentious person who basically is trying to contend to be on the opposite side of a conversation no matter what it is. They're going to be on the opposite side. I've given the example before how sometimes I play with my kids and they're saying, no, 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 and I'm saying yes, and they're saying no, and we're just kind of playing around. Maybe it's not setting a good example, but anyway. You know, they say no, and then I'll say, no, no, no. And then they change to yes, yes, yes. And sometimes people are like that. And it doesn't matter to them, as long as they're on the opposite side of the argument. The Lord told Moses to tell the people of Israel in Leviticus 19:16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. So don't carry tales. Okay, we've got to. I'll read three more verses here just quickly, and then we'll close. Psalms 52:2. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Psalms 64:3-4. Who whet their tongue like a sword? Who bend their bows to shoot their arrows? Even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. We read that kind of takes us back to where we began, about the wellspring, the deep waters. Let's disseminate health with our tongues. Let's be so careful with what we say, to whom we say it, in what spirit we say it, when we say it. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we know that as we think of even from James, book of James, Lord, where your word talks about the tongue and how it's such a small member, and yet it does great things. It can do great wickedness. It can do great good. But in its native form, it is, as your word says in James, set on fire of hell. Lord, we pray that we would allow the Holy Spirit to tame and to rule our tongue. Help us not to be hasty in spirit to speak. Help us to be men and women, young people of few words, but those words would be packed with goodness, packed with sound doctrine, packed with things that will edify people, lift them up. We ask that you be with us now as we go into the morning worship service, that you speak to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.